Well, I want to share something today, just for a few moments. I wanted to kind of conclude this, because I haven't been up here for a few Sundays, and I was kind of praying about what direction to go, but I want to conclude this to kind of put a finish on it. And I was teaching on the motto of this church, and some of you were here, and it was at the direction of the Lord. He said, I want you to teach on the motto. Pastor Greg was teaching on it. Pastor Enrique was teaching on it at the Spanish church in Nanuet. We all got the same direction. We never talked about it, but God had spoken to our hearts. And so today, I want to talk on the last point of the motto of the church here is where the power of God is manifested. So I had spoken about where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. Now, this is a model that the Holy Ghost gave Pastor Sarah as they were driving through the Delaware Water Gap, coming back from Oklahoma when they finished Bible school in 1980. They were driving through, and the Holy Ghost gave them that motto. And so that motto is, you know, you ever think about this? God doesn't do anything just to do stuff, like sometimes we do. God does some things. He gives direction. He gives information. He gives insight for a purpose. And so when you see something like this, you see where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, the power of God is manifested. He's wanting to do that in the church when people come. He wants to be demonstrated through who? Us. So he wants the love of God to be evident in a church. He wants the word of God to be evident in a church. He wants the spirit of God to be directing in a church. And he wants the power of God to be manifested in the church. But he also wants it seen in us individually, not in the church. And so the Lord has been putting that on my heart very strong a month or so ago, a couple of months ago, where he just spoke to my heart and he said, you need to make that a personal profession. You need to say, I am a place where the love of God is evident. Me. I'm a place where the word of God dwells richly. I'm a place where the spirit of God directs, and I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. So wherever I go, I'm bringing him. I'm bringing the love of God. I'm bringing the word of God. I'm bringing his spirit, and I'm bringing the power of God wherever I go. And that's what God is looking for. He wants us to make that a personal profession. What does that mean? I believe it, and I'm acting on it. I'm going to walk in the love of God. I'm going to let the word of God dwell in me richly. I'm going to let the spirit of God direct, and I'm going to let the power of God flow through me. So he wants the church to go out into the highways and hedges, wherever we go, and reach people. Because he is coming soon. And it's a lot sooner than we realize. It's so close that you could almost reach out and touch it. If you just look up and see what's going on in life, in society, you gotta say, boy, Jesus is coming soon. I mean, even in Matthew 24, it says, when iniquity is what? Abounds. He said, the love of many will wax cold. Well, we see it. And you see iniquity abounding. People are saying, you know, what are they saying? Evil is good and good is evil. We see that going on. We see things going into society where there's the morals and the ethics in society is broken down. I was in a health food store a month or so ago. I go there, I get supplements. I go in and, you know, they know who you are. And I'm walking to get my stuff. And the young guy goes, "What is going on?" And I'm thinking, I'd even talk to him. He goes, "What is going on?" And I said, "Well, stuff is going on. I was getting my stuff." So when I came back out, I said to him, I said, "I'm going to tell you what's going on." I said, "The further people move away from God," I said, "the darker it gets." And he said to me, "Well, yeah, that's true." I said, "The further people move away from God, look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they moved away from God and just all kinds of stuff was going on, and he destroyed it." So we don't want to be in a place where God, I mean, it does say that this earth is going to get burnt up, but we're not going to be in it. And he's coming soon to do what? Take the church out. And we'll be caught up to meet him in the air before that great return. And then he's going to come back with his church on this earth. And I'm telling you right now, we're so close. You just see the signs of what's going on in Israel. Look at the things that are going on in Israel. We're so close. You see the technology. You see everything just increasing exponentially. And it's going to get faster because now you have artificial intelligence. You got AI. It's going to just that quick. It's already doing it. And don't get stuck on that. I mean, use technology. I mean, sometimes we use it in the office to help us write letters and things. You can do that. You know, do things. Use technology. You get stuck on it. Do you use your phone? Every time you go Siri, that's artificial intelligence. How many have voiced stuff into your phone? So don't get stuck on, AI, whoo. No, you're already using it. People get stupid and silly. You're already using it. Use it to help you get the kingdom of God pushed forward. Don't get stuck in a rut. You drive a car, don't you? It talks to you. Come on. And what? Yeah, don't be the Amish, right? Drive and walk, you know, and do silly things, right? But use it to help promote the kingdom of God. And I'm just saying that we're so close to his return. We can look up and we can see the things that are in the scripture. They're already, I mean, you can look at what is happening in the Middle East. You can see the swords rattling and you can see things going on. Don't get stuck in the politics and all of that stuff. That's silliness. That's a distraction. Because the devil wants us to get distracted on stuff and bicker about stuff. And what is he doing? He's saying, look, keep your focus on things above. Set your focus on things above. You don't like something, pray about it. You know, Brother Hagin said this when he was alive, and he spoke about it. He said the Lord spoke to him and said the Holocaust would have never happened if the church had prayed. He said it would have never happened. And he'll hold the church accountable because it's his power, his name, his word in the earth to do what? Stop things. And when we're just laying out, just doing nothing, and we hear this all the time, oh, God's in control. Come on. He's in control of some things, but then there are some things he holds the church accountable for because he's given you his name, he's given you his word, and in Revelation 12, it says we overcome. Who overcomes? The church overcomes by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his your testimony. So there are some things that he has put the church in charge of. So I'm just sharing that we have the power of God residing in us, and he wants us to use it. So let me get back here just to get centered here. The Lord said to me about this, about the motto. He said, and used it where my experience was, as a young person growing up, I did a lot of fishing. It was just something I did, mostly fresh water. So he said to me, you're going fishing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're going fishing. Just like fishing, you have to know what bait to use, or you're catching nothing. You're not going to catch a thing. I did that. There were times I went fishing, came up empty-handed, because I didn't know what the fish were biting on. I didn't know what was in the stream or the lake. I didn't know the kind of bait to use. So I had to find out. I had to ask questions. I had to read. I mean, there were times as a young person, I backpacked up into the Adirondacks, way back in the mountains, just to go after certain kind of native brook trout, things that they would stock. So I don't do that anymore. I go to the store and buy fish, just like you. I don't have time for that. But all I'm saying is that when you have a passion to do something, you find out what you need to do. How many in here like to shop? Oh yeah, there's a few of you, right? You like to shop. Well, when you have a passion to shop, you're looking to find out, before you go on vacation, you're looking to find out what kind of stores are in that place you're going. Yeah, I mean, you are. You're looking at what shops, what they got, what sales. Come on. So you like to do that, just like people who like to play golf. I mean, people who like to play golf, they bring their clubs with them, and they're asking, where's the nearest driving range? Where's the nearest golf course? Because they like to do that. So I have a question for you. When you see people in this earth, if you have a passion to reach people, when you see people, are you thinking about how do I reach them, or they're just an annoyance to me? I don't want to be bothered with them. See, that's the point. That when we have a passion to reach people, I'm looking for what? Opportunities. Just like you're looking for opportunities to shop, I was looking for opportunities to fish because I liked that. People who like to do certain things, they look for opportunities. And so when we have a heart to reach people, we look for opportunities. I'm open, Lord, to be used today. Use me in some kind of way, whatever it is. And we look for opportunities to share the goodness of God with someone in a simple way. You know, sometimes we get silly, don't we? I mean, we people think, oh, I gotta go preach to somebody. Come on. Most people have no idea what you're talking about. So, you know, people today, something that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart recently, he said, people coming into the church today, he said, most. Not all, most coming into the church today are either unchurched or they're coming out of churches where they go and they may have a half hour service or something. So when you sit in a service for more than a half an hour, people are like, you done yet? But yet they'll go sit in the movies or go to a baseball game or a football game and sit for 3 hours and not even think about it. But when we start to do spiritual things, because they choke on it, they're not used to it. So if your heart is to reach people, then you need to think about that. As a church, does that mean you water down the message? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that you need to keep things such that people want to come back and get more. Right? I mean, that's just a simple thing. God knows more than you do. And he knows how to reach people, and he knows what kind of blockage there is where people are concerned, what hinders people from receiving. And it's the same thing. When you go out and you interact with people, keep it simple. Just share with people simple things that will draw them to a relationship with God. That's really what we're sharing. Your heart should be, what can I share with someone that will cause them to think about God, think about their eternal future? Because most people don't think about it. They're not thinking about it. They're just going through life cruising, and then all of a sudden when they hit a brick wall, they're like, oh God, I need help. Well, we're here to help. So God is looking for us to seek him. I like this here. This is Matthew 6:33. You know, we are familiar with this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's talking, and this is the Passion Translation, Matthew 6:33. It says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. So God is looking for us to seek him in everything we do. We have responsibilities. We have things we need to do. Whether you're going to school, whether you have a job, we have responsibilities. But in all that we do, keep your thoughts on him as you're interacting and you're going places. Because I'm telling you, you know, just look up. You know, people are not even thinking about just looking at the condition in the country today. People have gotten so, I don't know, it's just, I don't know what word to use, but I just saw, they said in the news the other day, or yesterday I was seeing something, and they said that those that are in, you know, the services that keep us protected here in this country, you have the NSA, you have the FBI, you've got all of these CIA, you've got all these agencies, and with all the people that have come across the border, they said that they just caught 7 or 8 people from Tajikistan in Chicago, New York, somewhere else, and they were planning to do something really bad. And they said that we're at the highest threat level since 9/11. I said, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Don't complain about it, but pray for the people that are making decisions that maybe are not the best decisions. Pray, because 1 Timothy 2 says we're to pray for all men, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may lead what? A quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is, and he would have all men to be saved, for this is his will. And man, if we're not praying for people, what are you doing? Because people are making laws that disrupt things and maybe are not the best decisions. And it could end up blowing up in your neighborhood, and you're going, where did all this come from? You weren't praying. You weren't down asking God, those people that are paid to keep me safe, that which is hidden, let it be revealed. Expose it. So, because what does it end up doing? If there's some kind of a problem, what happens? It affects people's lives. It affects the furtherance of the gospel. It affects reaching people. And I look at it this way. I look also, I said, with all the people coming into this country, You can look at it two ways. You can look at it as a big problem, or you could look at it and say, this is the greatest harvest time we have here. We could pray and say, look, God is greater than all of this. We can reach them, because you can put every kind of goofy law you want to put in place, but unless you change people's hearts, it's not going to change. Unless people's hearts change, there'll be no change. Because just because you, Pastor Clinton used to say it this way, he said, you cannot legislate righteousness. You cannot legislate making people do right. There has to be a heart change. And that's where we pray. What does the scripture say? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest, because they're white with harvest. There are people coming in that want to do bad things. God can appear to them. Jesus can appear to them. Happens all the time. People going to murder somebody, and all of a sudden Jesus appears to them and there's a heart change. And he's coming soon. And I'm telling you, the church needs to be vigilant and awake. You know, I was at some meetings about a month ago, and this man came. He's a Rhema grad. He graduated in 1981. Excuse me. And his primary focus in ministry is end time prophecy. And I'm telling you, he had us on the edge of our seats. Exciting. He said this. He said, you know, if you're a runner and you see the finish line and you've prepared yourself to run and you've prepared your body to run, and you're in a race, we're in a race. He said, when you see that finish line, you're putting every ounce in to put everything in to push to that finish line. He said, but you know, when you don't see the finish line, you're pacing yourself. You may hold back a little bit. He said, that's where the church is today. We're right at the finish. We're right at the finish line. And the church is cruising. They should be pressing with every ounce, every energy, everything within them, because they see the finish line and they want to reach people. And they want to do what's needed in the kingdom of God to advance it. Wherever God's called us, wherever he's called us. He said, but when you don't see the finish line, when you say, Jesus is coming, yeah, maybe sometime, when you don't see it as imminent, and you look at the signs and things that are going on, you're pacing yourself. You say, well, yeah, I'll get to that. And the church needs to be engaged and alive. And open for God to use in whatever area he calls us to. So let me read this here. Let me jump over here. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. I want to read this in the New Living Translation. And Matthew 4, verse 18 and 19. And 20, this is the New Living. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will do what? I will show you how to do what? Fish for people. He will show you how to do that, but you got to be open for it. And then the Passion Translation, I like this. This is similar, but verse 19 in the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus called out to them and said, come and follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God. Huh. But you got to be open for him to do that, to transform you, because you want to be what? Thinking about, and then he'll show you how. Lord, I desire to reach people, but I'm not sure. Show me how. He'll show you how. He'll give you something simple to do or say where people are concerned. Anybody thinking today? It's quiet in here today. Just think about these things. Now, just in the few minutes we have left here, when we talk about the power of God, where the power of God is manifested, how do you activate the power of God? Can it be activated? Because a lot of times people have some ideas about this. First of all, they think, me, I'm not anointed. Well, we need to settle that. You are called of God. You are anointed. Matthew 28, it says, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go forth and you preach the gospel. You teach and those that make disciples of all men. Those that believe will be saved. Those that won't are damned or judged. And then he goes on to say what? He says, you are to do what? Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. Well, that means you're anointed of God to do that. You have the authority, it's been conferred upon you to do that, to be his representative here in the earth. And that means that the power of God will flow through you, and whether you feel like it or not, or whether you feel it or not. And so, I'm back to this question. We need to activate the power of God. And so, let me read this, Revelation chapter 12, and the King James Version, starting in verse 7 through 11, it says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which does what? Deceiveth the whole world. That's all he can do is deceive. His power's been broken. So all he does is deceive people. And it says here, he deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So I want to show you something here. I'm going to use two, not examples, but two things that show how the anointing is activated. Number one, let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and the King James Version. This is Jesus activating the anointing in his life. And you might say, well, Jesus is God or was God. Yeah, that's true. He was. And is. It was God in Christ reconciling the world. So there's no question. But he didn't operate as God, even though he was God. Philippians chapter 2, And I'm sorry, I'm going to jump over here first. Philippians chapter 2 in the New Living Translation, verse 6 and 7. He was God, but he didn't operate as God. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Because he said, I can do nothing of myself except the Father show me or reveal. So he didn't operate in or as God. And Philippians bears that out. It says, though he was God, this is the New Living Translation, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Now look at verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. So he was God, but he didn't operate as God. He was anointed by God, just like you are. Acts 10:38, familiar scripture. He did what? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God anointed him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus operated as a sinless man anointed by the Holy Ghost, and he was God. So now let's go back to Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18. And we'll look at 18 through 21. And you can see here how Jesus activated the power of God in his life. This is the King James Version. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. Now again, he comes into the synagogue. They hand him the scrolls. He begins to find the place where God speaks about him. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's professing now. He's making a profession. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, he began to do what? Say unto them. Do you think when Jesus spoke, he spoke faith-filled words? I do. It said, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture, what? Fulfilled in your ears. He activated the anointing of God. He was anointed, and as Brother Hagin always would say, faith, the switch of faith was what? He believed what the Father spoke about him in Scripture, and he spoke it. So he spoke what the Word said, and it activated the anointing that was in his life and upon him. So we activate, I'm trying to draw this here. Now let me just back up. Brother Hagin's ministry, and there are others, but his story, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, come up hither, and he took him up to heaven, Brother Hagin. And he said, when he got to heaven, he said, I've given you a special anointing, and he said, to heal the sick. We all can lay hands on the sick. But he gave him a special anointing, and he took the finger of his right hand, is the way Brother Hagin tells it, and he put it in the palm of each of his hands, and he said, my hands begin to burn like coals of fire. And this is what the Lord said to him. And it won't work unless you tell the people. So he had to decree what the Lord told him. That's what Jesus did. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he began to profess what was written about him. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And so I would say to you that how do we activate something in our lives? Through faith. And we activate that which is in us by faith. And we activate the motto in our lives. I say, that's why the Holy Ghost has been going at this. He said, "You say." How do we activate something? I say, "The love of God is working in me. Wherever I go, the love of God is working in me. Wherever I go, I bring the word of God. It works in and through me. Wherever I go, the Spirit of God is directing me and working through me." How does he work through us? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of healings. He begins to direct us and work through us. And what happens? And I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. You activate that. You begin to say who you are. You're saying what God said about you. See, you might say, "Well, that's not in the word, that motto." Well, yeah, it is in part. The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, Colossians. The Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested in Ephesians. So it is in the word. You just need to go find the scriptures and begin to say what he says about you. And you activate that in your life. How did you activate eternal life in your life? How did you get that to work and change your spirit? How did you do that? How did you activate that? You believed with your heart. It says, "A man believeth unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you activated the Spirit of God to move and do what? Cause him to come into you by the words of your mouth. So how do you activate the love of God? You begin to say it. You begin to decree that motto. You begin to say, "Wherever I go, I bring God with me. I'm bringing his love, his nature. I'm bringing his word. I'm bringing his spirit, and I'm bringing his power. Wherever I go. And it's working in me." Now you might say, "I don't feel that." You don't feel faith. But I'll tell you, you when you begin to speak the things that God has spoken about you, then you give him the right to begin to work in your life. That's what you're doing. When we say you activate God, it's not like I'm telling him what to do, but he responds to faith. He responds to faith-filled words, and he's looking to work in us. So let me move ahead here. We've just got a few minutes here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. I want to read this in the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 20, in the Passion. And then we just have two more scriptures, we're closed. Because I kind of get that I hope you're connecting something today, connecting some dots, as they say. You're seeing something in the Word of God. And don't sit back. You need to take hold of something that God has said about you, and you do what? Activate it. You know, I know, who's it, Minister Joe? You know more about chemistry than I do, but you have to have certain things to activate something. When you put certain chemicals with certain other chemicals, I mean, if you take vinegar and you put baking soda in it, you're going to have a little reaction. I know that much. So I'm just saying, when you take and you mix faith, what does the scripture say? The scriptures didn't benefit them because they didn't mix it. Isn't that in Hebrews? It says they didn't mix it with faith. So you can be sitting back and, you know, we hear this all the time. Oh, God's in control. He can do everything. Yeah, he can. But you need to give him the right to move in your life. You know, you could say, well, yeah, I believe one day I'll be saved. You never will unless you release your faith-filled words and then you give him the right to come in your life and change your spirit. And then you'll be saved. People do that all the time. Well, you know, one day when I get right and I get everything right, never happen. Because you need him in you to get right. You can't get right by yourself. It's not possible. Without his nature coming in me to help me. The minute I get saved, he makes me right with him. I become the righteousness of God in Christ. So right away, the minute he comes into my life, I've now become right with God. So you can't get right without him. So Ephesians, let's go back here. Ephesians chapter 1, in the Passion. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. See, how does that come? It comes by the Spirit of God working in you. And he does what? It says, he gives you a spirit of wisdom, revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. And I like this. See, we talk about imagination. See, a lot of people, the devil has put some bad thoughts in people's minds and their imagination is working against them. But I like this next scripture here. Let's go to verse 18. I pray that what? The light of God will illuminate what? The eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. How does that come about? The light of his word. When you begin to look at the word and you begin to see it, the entrance of his word does what? The scripture says, Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of his word does what? It gives light. It gives illumination to what? Your imagination. Whew. And you begin to see yourself like him. That's how Jesus came in and he said, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm going to do this. So a lot of times we're not speaking the word of what he said about us. We ought to be saying, I'm prosperous. Everything I set my hands to was blessed. I'm healed. I'm prosperous because he said that about me. And that begins to what? It begins to illuminate the eyes of my imagination, and I begin to see myself. That's why Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he'd tell people that were infirmed and they were sick or dying, he'd say, see yourself healed. You know, people would just listen to that and they'd go, well, can't you see I'm not? The more the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, you begin to see who you are. You begin to see through the word that I'm healed, even though your body isn't. You begin to see it. And you begin to see that you're prosperous. You begin to see the way he sees you. You begin to see it. So it says here, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light. Whew. Until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth. He tells you right here. That is what? The wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he does what? Finds in us. It's in us. It's already in us. When he came in, he brought himself in and brought all that in, but it needs the light of the glory of God. It needs the light of the word to illuminate it. But we're walking and we're like, I don't see it. You need more light. You need more of the light to shine in, to illuminate what you already have. Whew. That's so good to me. So let's go on. Verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you, how? Through faith. All these things are made available to you, how? Through faith. Then your lives will be what? An advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. So it starts with the light of the illumination of what you already have. And then you begin to see what you have. And it says what? And it goes on. It says, and this immeasurable greatness is what? Made available to you through faith. So it's already in you, but it's activated through faith. Wow. Now let me jump down here. I want to close with this. This is Colossians in the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. In the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 1, Colossians 3. They'll put it up on the screen here. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection true, too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Now, it says here, verse 2, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And then it says what? Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Verse 3, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your life is hidden away in God in Christ. Now, I said this was the last one. I got one more. This is what I want to end with, this particular scripture. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is in the Passion Translation. We're talking about the power of God today. I'm a place where the power of God is evident. And how do we activate it? We activate it through faith. Speaking in faith what God has said about me. We activate that in my life. But the Passion Translation, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16, says, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Whew. Yeah. Now listen to the next verse. Verse 17. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. See how this is? And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. So how is that immeasurable power activated? He said in verse 17, then by what? Constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. So if you don't like what's going on in your life, you need to do what? Use your faith. You need to constantly use your faith, and the life of God, his explosive power, will be released in you. You'll know what to do. You'll know how to solve a problem. You'll know how to approach something because his power will be working in you. We need to get off. I mean, this is here. Some things, yes, God is over and he's supernatural and divine and over that. But there are some things that are not going to come to pass in my life unless I do what? Constantly use my faith. I have got to activate these things through faith. Ooh, boy, I'll tell you. This is exciting to me. So God is looking for us to reach people with the love of God. This is the bait. The love of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, and the power of God. That is the bait that you use when you go fishing for people. He said, I want to do what? Transform you or show you how to fish for people. And he said, you already have that. You have the bait. But you're going to have to constantly use your faith that it does what? It's released in you. It's activated in you. Oh boy, I'm telling you. Exciting to me. So there's a word that you can, there's two words, no excuses. So we have no excuses. God's in us. He has brought his very nature in us. And all we need to do is to do what? Do like Jesus when he went into the synagogue. Begin to decree what he said about you. And you begin to say, this is fulfilled in my life. This is active in my life. So I want to do something today as we close. And I believe the Holy Ghost wants me to do this. Is I want to lay hands on every single person in this room and release and activate and impart the anointing that rests upon my life. But I want to lay my hands upon each and every one of you that you go forth in that power, in that anointing, to do what God has called you to do. And just like Brother Hagin, when the hands are laid upon you, you don't go, oh, that's nice, I didn't feel nothing. No. How do you activate something? It's through faith. I believe I received when hands were laid upon me. And through faith, it's released and activated. So many testimonies that Brother Hagin had to share with people that he would share. He would share with people that would come. I mean, so many stories of babies coming with club feet and legs twisted, and he would just lay his hands upon them, and he would tell this couple, he said, the same anointing, he said, that anointing that I just laid on this person over here, he said, you know, he said, and they would walk away. They didn't see a change. And after he laid hands, he said, keep the switch of faith turned on. You believe that when hands were laid upon you, you received it, and it's working in you. And that couple, this one story, this couple said, I believe that the power of God went into our baby, and I believe that it's working in them. And he said, I don't know, it was however many days after, the feet were all twisted, just went normal. Because faith activates the promises of God. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for revealing in your word. And we thank you, Father, that as we meditate upon it, as we let the light of that come into our lives, that we thank you that we'll see it clear and we'll walk in it in a greater measure. So, Father, we thank you that we yield, we ask you to use us as laborers in your vineyard. Wherever we go, use us, Father. Think through us, speak through us, work through us, through the power of God and through the wisdom of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, before we close, if there's anybody here that has never asked Jesus into your heart, we always do that because we don't know who may or who may not. So if you've never asked him, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession is made unto salvation. We're to do what? Receive him as our Savior and believe that he was what? Raised from the dead. So a simple thing. You believe that he was raised from the dead. You ask him into your heart, you're saved, and you confess that. So let's say this simple prayer if you're here today. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. We believe that he is the Savior of the world, that he died for all men. And I believe he died for me. And when sin was paid for, it was taken to hell and paid for. And when he was raised from the dead, I was raised with him. So I receive him now as my Savior. I believe that he has come into my life, into my heart. He's changed me, cleansed me with his blood. And I thank you that I am now saved, redeemed in Jesus' name. So if you said that and you never said that before, just see me after service. We'll give you some free information. We want to acknowledge you and rejoice with you that you received Jesus as your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. But I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to lay hands on everyone, and I'm going to just do it real quick, and I'm going to release the anointing that's upon my life. I'm going to release that into your life, and you will operate different. You will think different. You know, one of the things that Brother Hagin talked about, and I was in some meetings recently, a couple of months ago, and the Durants that come to the church on occasion, once or twice a year. She traveled with Brother Hagin. So did Pastor Clinton and Sarah. They traveled with him when he would hold his meetings. Pastor Clinton would play for him, and the Haka days come. And Brother Hagin always would say this. He'd say, when he got tired, because he said, look, we live in a physical body. And he said, when you get tired, he said, sometimes you don't yield as easily to the Spirit of God. And you get tired, you may have to sit down. So he said sometimes he would ask those that worked with him on the stage, he would lay his hands on their hands, and he'd say, okay, now you finish up those that are in the line. And he said they had the same anointing through association. And Brother Hagin would say this. He said, when you begin to talk about the anointing, He said it would stir up that anointing within you, and he said it would cause my hands to burn. And you could sense the anointing. So sometimes that happens. Today I sense that. And so when you talk about, well, just think about it. When you talk about God, does that stir something up in you? Yeah, sometimes when you're talking about God, you're talking about his things, your spirit man gets stirred up. It's the same thing. When you talk about spiritual things and you talk about the anointing, it stirs up the anointing that's within you. And you may sense it. That's just what happens. You talk about spiritual things, and spiritual things become real and tangible. And so that's why a lot of times when we say, well, I don't feel God, talk about him more. He'll become more real to you. His things will become more real. That's why when Jesus, he spoke in the synagogue, those things became tangible and real. Even though they were real inside of him, I'm talking about in the natural sense. So those things become more tangible in the natural realm when you talk about him. And you talk about his anointing, you talk about his goodness, you talk about him, they become more real and tangible in this realm. So when people come into your presence, if you've been meditating on the Word of God and you've been talking about his goodness, they're real to you, they're tangible to you. And when people come in and start going, oh, life is so bad, I don't know how I'm going to make it, you go, man, God is good. He is so good to me. And they go, huh? He's tangible. He's real to you because you're talking about him. You're thinking about him. You're meditating on him. And he becomes real to you. Isn't that true? It's true. I mean, negative things become more real to you the more you talk about it. The more you, and so what does the scripture say? As a man thinketh, so is he. And the more you talk about bad and negative, the more tangible and real it becomes because you've released spiritual things, substance, and it's negative. And it becomes real and tangible. Well, how much more? When I talk about God and his things, they become real and tangible to me. Oh, yes. That's what God wants. He wants us to talk about him. Seek those things which are above. Yeah, we got things to do. We got things in life we got to take care of. We have to handle. But as I'm going through life, I can still not be so ingrained in it that I'm not thinking about him. You know, Jim Hockaday used this example. I thought it was so well put. He said, you know, when I go into the kitchen and my wife's in there, we may not talk, but I'm aware of her presence. Even though I'm just going in the kitchen to do something, I'm aware of her, so if she says something, I'm not going, what? He said, I'm not ignoring, I'm aware of her presence. If she says something, I go, yes, honey, what do you want? It's no different. We can be busy in life, but I'm aware of him, so when he speaks, I'm going, okay, Lord, I'll take care of that. That's all we're talking about. Be aware. Be conscious of him. Be aware of who's in you. Talk about him. Think about him. Think about his goodness. Whew. Yeah, God is good. I mean, even though we're going through stuff in life, God is still good. He's still good.